CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 200 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the worldwide leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
So tell us, Kane, what makes you angry? Please, Kane, we're here to help. So maybe start from your childhood. Remember, sharing is caring.
This is a bad idea.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive.
Oh my God! The Undertaker has been buried alive!
Twice.
Oh my God!
The Undertaker has been buried alive.
Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire.
Oh, no! A lightning bolt has just struck that TV premiere! My God, he's on fire!
No! And abducted various co-workers.
Matt, please help me! I'm in the basement! I'm next to the boiler room! Matt, please stay away from me!
My God! Oh, no!
Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
Kane is attaching the jumper cables
to shaking man's testicles!
Years ago, I had a girlfriend named Katie.
Hello, Katie. You look so good. Katie, you might look better dead than you did alive.
But let's just say that that didn't turn out so well. My real father is a guy named Paul Bearer, who I recently trapped in a meat locker.
Kane! You come to save me!
That's right. I'm here to save from me.
I've been married.
Kane, do you take Lita to be your wife?
I do. Divorced.
So let's get one thing straight, okay? Kane, I never loved you.
Broke up my ex-wife's wedding and Tombstone the Priest.
Jesus Christ!
Oh, it's Kane!
For reasons never quite explained, I have an unhealthy obsession with torturing Pete Rose.
That's Pete Rose! That's Pete Rose! Pete Rose just got Tombstone!
Okay, maybe we should call it a day.
But we were just getting started, and he didn't even talk about the dead skunk. Well... He'll have to bring that in with his anger collage at the next meeting. We're here at our wrestling management class of North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and we have our round table here tonight, starting with the brilliant man who has continued to research the Kane-tinuity of our intro, Mr. Jim Williams.
I brought my angry collage here tonight. It has Angry Birds, Bad Piggies, and a bunch of ponies, some cutie Mark Crusader types.
Pony.
No! 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 No!
Have a seat. We still have people to introduce here. Somebody Sorry. Who I don't understand would even need an anger management class. That would be Trista Timpson.
I brought my anger collage, and all it is a picture of the current general manager of Raw.
Daniel Bryan approves. And our fourth tonight, of course, fourth.
My anger collage has bus drivers, gypsies, and 7-Up soda.
Okay.
That's very creative. I do like that.
Bottle caps. Yeah.
Let me get mine out. Let's see. A picture, a horrible picture of Michael Cole. A crossed out picture of the puppet Mark, who is smart. Dixie Carter.
Oops. Oh.
Sorry, it had to be put in there.
Yeah, no.
And a few people whose names wouldn't mean anything here. So I, you know, but I'll put this up right here, and you guys are welcome to take a look at it. We'll compare these after the show.
Oh, pretty pictures.
So, but before we go, we delve into Kaintinuity and the anger management classes. That was definitely the highlight of this past Monday's Raw. We had a debut on Saturday of what may as well have been a Saturday morning cartoon, and that's probably the best way to sum up Saturday Morning Slam. Did anybody else here actually watch it?
Nope.
I only heard about it.
Jim, did you attempt it?
I was going to try to watch it, but I overslept because, well, I'm not a Saturday morning TV type.
Yeah. And I'm sure our chief, my muckety muck, had better things to do than try to watch this this pile of Saturday morning cheese.
Yeah.
See?
Just exactly. Welcome back. Welcome back. Yeah. Anyway.
So I gave it a try. I really did. What I do like about it is that it does have has little things on the side. I know, you know, knowing that I'm not the target audience, walking in knowing that I'm not the target audience made it a whole lot easier. They did a vignette at the beginning with Brodus Clay where he shows little kids how to do the Funkasaurus dance. They had a lengthy Kofi Kingston Heath Slater match, which was unfortunately called by Josh Matthews and Santino Marella.
Free Scott Stanford. Sorry.
No. Jim, I gotta say this. Santino is awesome for comedy and a good promo guy, despite the fact that he, you know, readily assaults the English language. But do not give this man a headset and be a color commentator. It'll hurt your brain. See? It already has.
Yes. Brain bleach on aisle one.
Let's see. My only disappointment was that I had heard that they were gonna play the SummerSlam music video that the wrestler shot, but they didn't play the whole thing. So yeah, Trista, they didn't. They kept part of the scene with Punk dancing around backstage, thumping away one of the 5-gallon jugs, but they don't show the clip of him getting caught by Sheamus.
That's the whole point of it.
Exactly. They did not show all of the routines with Brian and Otunga and I believe Layla goofing in front of the camera.
Did they show Hawkins and Rex, dare I ask?
Only in a preview.
Okay.
And in fact, they skipped the whole segment with Hawkins and Rex when they actually show the video. But when they were previewing it, they showed a bit of that, and they showed the thing when Gabriel and I believe Tyson Kidd interrupt them. But it's a harmless 30 minutes. It's not aimed at us.
And it was the most watched 30 minutes of the CW's new children's block, if the ratings I read from our good friend Jason Block are to be noted.
What did it get? I neglected to put that down.
It got roughly 1 million viewers. Let me get the actual number here. Editing on the fly. No, I'm kidding. It is a 0.7 household rating, which equates to 1.126 million sets of eyeballs. It was also, according to the press release from, I guess it was from the CW, not from WWE. It was Saturday morning's most watched program on the CW among total viewers in just about every freaking demo, whether it be kids under 18, kids 2 to 5, kids 2 to 11, da 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 da, boys, girls, what have you. So,
well, just remember to our listeners, this show is for a much younger set, to the point that a lot of the video during the Kingston Slater match had very unusual edits. Silly things like blurring out WWE.com on the ring aprons. I saw t-shirts blurred. Cameras were turned away from head and neck shots, as per the press release had mentioned a couple. I think we touched on that a couple of weeks ago. Trista, you know, even though that's not aimed at you, if you heard that there was a good match on the show, would you give it a look?
I'd probably YouTube the match instead of watch the whole show. But if they're only given a half an hour, why didn't they just make the whole thing a Triple H tribute show?
Why give it 30 when you have 3 whole hours?
Because that extra 30 is aimed at a younger audience, and younger kids are much more impressionable than, let's say, us. And maybe they would actually believe Triple H is the game and King of Kings and Cerebral Assassin and all the other nicknames he's ever thought for himself.
Go ahead.
You do realize, Trista, however, they would have to blur about 99% of the screen every time they wanted to do a compilation of some of Triple H's greatest moments for the kids.
Yeah, but then they could just insert pictures of him, like, hugging and kissing babies and whatever.
Like, the only thing that would be unblurred would be his nose.
And even then, they'd have to think about it.
Yeah, because it's quite the proboscis.
Maybe that'll be this week, because now he's officially retired, so maybe that'll be tomorrow morning.
Don't be so sure, Trista.
Or is he?
I don't think he's retired, and any retrospective would also be not only blurred but horribly bleeped.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Oh, my virgin eye airs. Oh. Think of the children, Trips. Think of the 3 girls and the no boys you have.
That'll get you hurt.
Yep.
If I can survive just talking to the meanie, I'll be okay. Go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, that's just like saying Sean's better than you.
Well, he's also got the crazy eyes. I can say that.
But, well, notwithstanding, I mean, the Evil Doc did decide he wanted to have his tearful farewell, and if it makes the IWC feel any better, nobody came out to console him when he had a tear in his eye and a cast on his arm.
Lame.
All that was missing was the Tell Me a Lie song, the same as you won't go.
Search YouTube. I'm sure somebody's done it for you.
He did tell you a lie. You're tired. Yeah. It's true. Right there.
It, she's right. I honestly, you know, there's already some whispers of the fact that, you know, once his arm heals, that he will be, you know, he will be looking to get his win back against Lesnar, whether it be Survivor Series or at WrestleMania.
WrestleMania is a big rumor that it's almost a confirmed match at this point. WrestleJets reported that.
Right. And so, you know, I already hear the IWC groaning about it. But unfortunately, in the unwritten rules of wrestling, part-timers are not going to get any kind of big wins over full-timers. So Lesnar's going to go out on his back.
Just that's true.
Bank on that.
I'm going to put Triple H on my anger collage.
Okay.
Aw. You make me sad.
Sad.
Hi. I don't like him.
Sorry, I guess I'm one of the 5 Triple H fans left on the planet, so.
Aside from him, and wait a minute, that would be 6. That would be him, Stephanie, and the 3 girls. And you. There you go.
See? I know unlike some people I work with, I do know how to count.
Wow. That's a dig. Kayfabe.
Just trust me on this one. Let's see. So yes, you know, Triple H's stuff took up a pretty good chunk of Raw and a small piece of SmackDown. Surprisingly, he was not spoken of at all on Saturday Morning Slam. Although The Saturday Morning Slam was looks like it was recorded before SummerSlam, since Santino came to the announce table still wearing the U.S. title.
It was recorded, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
So there you go. Let's see. So, okay, now I'll actually touch on the Kane-tinuity. Because, Jim, again, you know, phenomenal intro.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry that you had to go through all of that footage just to find some of those sound bites.
Some of them were a little bit tougher than others, but hey.
But bonus points, the fact that you found the priest.
If I didn't include him saying Jesus Christ, I know I could not go on with myself. I'm like, gonna go to hell when I die. I'm gonna go to hell when I die.
But the fact that Kane did this with a straight face and some of the crowd reactions just made that segment. And of course, Daniel Bryan, being his grouchy and brilliant heel self.
What made this segment just so incredible, and we were talking afterwards, Nikki, the fact that something was trending 3 hours after that segment.
Yes, unfortunately, the worst of the whole pile of his storylines, not including the dead skunk, and I'll explain that one if anybody needs it. Katie Vick.
I'm sorry. And the funny part, we have screen grabs up on the NAWC group page, and heck, we might even put it up as the avatar for the show this week. You never know. The irony, Katie Vick was trending on top of Kane. So,
wait a minute. That's backwards.
I have photographic proof.
It's still backwards. And what did Artie and Blade have to say about this?
Their head exploded. I don't know.
Ooh.
I have to imagine Blade is going to find it weird considering that he's brought Katie Vick back to life.
Oh my goodness.
Scary, scary, scary.
You ain't kidding. But that was easily the anger management, the third of the three little installments. Easily the best video package of the year, quite frankly.
So I wonder who on the staff was the Austin Powers fan.
Whoever it was, they do not get paid enough.
Let him do more vignettes.
Yes. Poor Harold.
Oh, don't worry. He will have his revelation, and he will appear to us again under the guise of Scorpio Sky.
Ah, yes, yes.
Oh, wait. Did I break kayfabe again?
You're good at that. She's the world champ at breaking kayfabe, you know.
The kayfabe?
I broke the kayfabe.
Hi, Dad!
Okay.
You.
Let's see. And I should be better at that. I mean, even the wrestlers get their challenges, to the point that R-Truth had to do a special photo shoot for WWE.com. Has anybody seen these pictures? I finally got some good pics of little Jimmy.
Oh, I gotta go here and see this.
It's pretty awesome.
I was
so happy they got Jimmy, little Jimmy, to sit still for a few minutes and take some photos with R-Truth.
Oh man!
And they even let him have his own moment. There's a couple pictures of just him.
Very photogenic.
That was quite a smile.
He's a cute kid. He's going to be a real lady killer when he gets older.
Are you serious, bro?
Well, if, you know, we keep having heels beating up little Jimmy, at some point, you know, little Jimmy's going to have to get them back.
Why is it that I have the image of that, and it was from one of the Botchamanias, that one little mini luchador getting kicked with a baseball slide off the apron and flying off? I'm sorry.
No. I know exactly. I know the clip you're talking about. I've seen it. It's silly.
It's so amazing. Every time I see it, I can't help but laugh my ass off.
Actually, there, I think if you YouTube Invisible Wrestler, there's actually a Pudesu who wrestled an invisible opponent.
Oh yeah, there it is. Invisible Wrestler Japan. Oh my goodness.
And I want to see, I dare WWE to do this. I absolutely dare them.
The referee admonishing the invisible guy in the corner. What the heck?
Somewhere, somehow, Al Snow is celebrating this.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Apparently.
Yes! Yes!
Apparently he gained a brogue accent. That's nice.
Well, I don't have one of Al doing it, so Sheamus would have to do. And the, you know, just the fact that we're having, you know, the fact that R-Truth, you know, R-Truth and the other wrestlers are quote unquote selling Little Jimmy, and the fact that we, you know, the fact that R-Truth gets along so well with this kid, I'm grateful for that. That's, you know, that's a big bonus for the younger fans. Mm-hmm. Then we get the parental bonus of Santino Marella's antics with his wayward Cobra.
That Cobra has a mind of its own. Mommy always said that.
And Fourth knows what I'm talking about when I say it's getting crap past the radar.
Oh.
Trista, is it wrong or is it just funny?
Santino?
Santino and the fact that his Cobra has a mind of its own every time Oksana shows up.
My only problem with it is Oksana not being sexy. I don't think she's very pretty, and I think when she just kind of stands there, I think she's doing something wrong. I don't know what it is, but it happens. Maybe she can fix it. But I like Santino and how the Cobra kind of like drags him with him. I think Santino did a good job of actually making it look like the Cobra was like actually dragging him. I don't know. It's little things that I appreciate with Santino. That was definitely one of them.
And so, Jim, are you setting up a betting pool of when the Cobra is actually going to attack Santino?
Well, I have to work on something now that the Booker T bingo game's a flush. So, yeah, probably.
And Fourth, you think the Cobra can beat Santino?
No comment. This can only go wrong from here.
Is that code? Oh, my Lord. Of course the Cobra can beat Santino. Anything can happen to the WWE!
Fourth, I just realized what you were thinking, and yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you for not answering that question, because, yeah.
Oh.
I'm glad we're an internet radio show. We would have probably lost our FCC licensing over that statement. Anyway.
Yeah, just, oh, wow. It took me a second. Yeah, I got it now. Oh,
Howard Stern, Jim.
Baba Booey, Baba Booey. Cuckoo Robin. Cuckoo Robin.
Oh, warning, there's Baba Booey on our Wrestle Chat radio show, Mr. Jim.
We will talk about it probably more in depth at the end of the show, but you gotta listen. Go to either CLW83.com or WrestleChat.net for our special interview subject, The Blue Guy! From ECW, the Blue Meanie.
Okay, shameless plug over. But we will talk about that later in the show. The other big angle, aside from the tearful farewell of the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, is the continued attempt by WWE to turn Punk heel. And so they decided to, you know, to put him at odds with Jerry Lawler, of all people. We get those two in a pretty solid cage match. Let's see. I know VRM fell asleep by the time we got to that point. Fourth, what did you think of the cage match?
I definitely thought it told the story quite well. I mean, there are times where it is a little much to have Lawler in matches, but sometimes when he wants to, he can really pull out a great match.
And Trista, were you baffled when you saw blood?
Not really. I don't know, because I didn't watch it live, so by the time I did see it, I kind of knew Punk had blood or whatever, but I do get surprised when I do see it without knowing it's going to happen. So I think had I watched it live, I would have been like, oh my god, he's bleeding. Why isn't there a medic out there stopping the match ASAP right now? But a cool move.
Oh, no, that's okay. Jim, I think you and I both saw on WrestleChat that somebody put up a video saying, look, he bladed!
And Punk flatly denied it. So that's a debatable point in and of itself. I want to go back to something you said, though, a moment ago, Nikki, saying that you're wondering why they picked Lawler. I'll give you a perfect case in point why Lawler was the person picked to be the transitional figure to make Punk a heel-like figure. You go back about 10 years ago when they tried to make Stone Cold Steve Austin a heel. He was beating up Michael Cole, and nobody really gave a crap. So they brought out his old best friend, JR, and he beat the crap out of JR. And how do you get heat? By beating up JR. Sort of the similar kind of thing with Lawler. I thought the match was fun. I enjoyed watching it, and I also enjoyed the fact that John Cena couldn't be Super Cena and peel apart cage walls at will after the match. Amazing.
Oh, no, you bring up a good point. When did Cena forget how to climb a freaking cage?
Oh, yeah, my God, really? That pissed me off.
Come on, Superman. Oh. If you're not going to climb the cage, rip the damn door off its hinges. We know you can do it.
That's so stupid.
More powerful than the world's strongest man. Oh, wait a minute.
I will make a point about the blood. Punk did tweet a couple of pictures and the fact that he had to get staples to put that back together. And the cut was on top of his head, which is too high for what they do for a blade job. The blade is actually done on the if they're going to blade, it's on the forehead. And I mean, go look at the close-ups of Lawler when Punk's in his face. You can see the scars he's got from doing it.
Or just ask Ric Flair, because he knows a little too much about that.
Or Shawn Michaels, for that matter. But it's just the fact that, you know, most blade, you know, if you blade, it's a small, clean cut, and it's something that may need a stitch or two, or if you're an ECW guy, you super glue it.
That's the budget.
Well, and I was just saying, just where he came open is already inside the hairline, mm-hmm. And the highest the blade usually is at the hairline, and something that bad, you know. The worst, you know, blade I can think of is when Eddie Guerrero decided to take a knife to his forehead at Judgment Day when he was fighting JBL. And that was just too freaking deep. Just the whole setup was wrong. It was a hard way. And I did see the ref put the rubber gloves on. He put his latex gloves on, but being a cage match, to Trista's statement, they aren't gonna stop it for blood. And come to think of it, they haven't stopped a match for blood in a while.
I was gonna say, no, what insert Matt Stryker warning and disclaimer about how the state board asks you to stop a match due to blood here.
I just thought I remembered I heard something during like an ECW taping or something like that. I think Christian got busted open, and they didn't stop the match, but they had like medics come out and cleaned him up, but they were able to edit that out for the show. But it actually happened.
There was a pay-per-view match that he had with Shelton Benjamin. He got cut open, and they actually had a ref back Shelton off while they cleaned him up.
That might have been it.
And they actually kept that. and people got frustrated with that. Mm-hmm. The I was also at Over the Limit 2010, the Mysterio Punk match, when Punk got busted open hard way when one of Ray's knee braces got him in the forehead. And they stopped and they were trying to help Punk, and the crowd started a boring chant.
Yep.
To which Punk promptly went apeshit and then went into a fast forward mode, spent 5 minutes beating the tar out of Rey Mysterio to get to the point that they should have been at. I hope the DVD looks like that. That's how it felt at the show. So they haven't stopped for blood in a while, and you know, as far as I can tell, and from just from the pictures, this is a hard way. The video, the video is convincing, points to them, but you got to know where they hit. They don't, and plus, you don't blade so hard that you get it all stapled shut. That just sucks.
You got veterans in there who know better than to do that, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's what the initial story came out, that, Punk's apparently got all this power backstage because he actually got away with a blade job. He also got away with a move. Trista, did you notice that the Punk took a step outside of his moveset during the match?
Was he singing? Was that it?
Well, there was that.
I like that's, that.
That's the homage to Andy Kaufman, yes.
Actually, I was kind of digging that. I was digging that. That's not what I was looking for.
Okay. I missed it then.
Okay. You probably missed it. Forth, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I couldn't hear specifically what he was saying, but when I was chatting with a friend on AIM, they definitely brought that up.
And Jim, do you have any guesses?
Oh, are we talking about a certain electrifying move?
That I saw, that you saw, that it sounds like Forth saw, that Trista, it sounds like you might have blanked on.
I might have been knitting.
It happens.
And the announce team, the people that are supposed to be calling the bloody matches, missed it too.
Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Announcers call moves in 2012?
I realize it's unheard of, but this is a case where it was a plot point.
Gotcha.
Because CM Punk got a hold of Lawler and hit him with a rock bottom. Michael Cole, being the brilliant broadcast journalist that he is, ignored it.
He's a war correspondent. Give him a break.
I'd like to. I would like to start with his arm.
Ah-ha-ha. I see what you did there.
Yeah, Brock. Oh, never mind.
Hey, now.
What? Just the fact that, it's for those who missed SmackDown, when Kane decided he wanted to beat up Josh Matthews, the crowd demanded that he go after Cole.
Yes. Poor Josh. Gets no respect. Us South Jersey boys got to stick together, you know what I mean?
I hear you. Let's see. Oh, I missed something. I did miss something with Daniel Bryan.
No. I'm sorry.
Actually, very good. That's a hell of a segue. Hey. Since Daniel Bryan has actually made a few bucks on the yes, yes, yes shirts and trying to stay heel by having to scream no, 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 now we have a no, no, no shirt.
I love it.
Apparently, there was a poll on WWE Shop or on WWE.com. I haven't been on there in a while. That showed off a couple different versions. I wanted it as close to the one he's been wearing for the last few weeks. The one they have isn't bad. Just to whoever's preference. But yeah, no, 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 in huge letters on the front. Stop it! In huge letters in the back. Sorry, all I can think of is the DX routine when Hunter does Vince McMahon, and here's Shawn dancing all over the place, and he finally just leans into him and goes, "Stop it!"
Everybody and falls over.
Sells it. Yeah, mm-hmm. and Michaels just sold it like it was a actual strike.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. We go with all that, and I'm going to talk a few. I'm going to throw in a few Divas notes real quick.
Wait a minute, the Divas exist? Amazing! Wow.
Okay. No, just a curious little storyline bit that I want to throw out there. On Raw, we had a Divas match going on. Here's Vicky on the corner, tapping her foot, looking around, being impatient, mm-hmm. probably kind of you know. Being disrespectful of the action in the ring, something that, you know, I normally don't condone, but in her case, it was just related to the fact that she was more interested in her client than the two women in the ring, mm-hmm. which is 90% of the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to SmackDown. Eve Torres is at the announce table for Caitlyn versus Natalya. She spends half the match trying to get the announcers to pay attention to what's going on in the ring. Jim, actually, Trista, is this something we should be watching a little more closely?
I think it's something to make note of, because I think it's one of those things where it's like, does no one care because the announcers say don't care? Or are the announcers saying don't care because they already don't? I think it's disrespectful to the women in the ring who are trying, you know, what they can do with the 3 or 4 minutes that they're given. I'm not a fan of it. I think it's a terrible idea for the division. Yeah, it annoys me, especially with Caitlyn, because Caitlyn's really improved since she came up from NXT a few years ago. And if they're going to build, you know, try to make her going after the Divas title kind of important, then maybe you should pay attention to what the fuck she's doing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, if you, you know, I don't know, see, if you probably saw the Divas match tonight. Did you think Eve might be trying to steer everything back in the right direction?
The way they've been pushing with Eve, it has been at least showing that, at least with her character, she's trying to make people care about the division. So I'm definitely hoping the company realizes that fans want women's wrestling. You know, the TNA is slipping, so this is their opportunity to really kind of break free, if you will.
Jim, I've noticed since we're noticing this with the women's division, can you give some insights that you think they're kind of doing the same thing with the tag division now?
They've been always shady on pulling the trigger on bringing back something legitimate with the tag division. I think the whole Abraham Washington thing, the whole AW thing, also kept them a little leery. The bad publicity with that. I'd like to see the tag team division come back in full force, because right now the tag team belts are about the lowest belts in the company. As for the Divas, I'm all for seeing women wrestling, but I'm sorry, I don't want to see Natalya and Beth Phoenix job every night. That's anymore what we're getting on the air. Let's see them be their, I hate to use the cliche, smart, sexy, and powerful selves, and let them do their thing. Let them ply their craft, for goodness sakes.
Another thing they really need to start doing is start calling up more Divas. Because I think, like, the latest addition to the roster has been, like, Caitlyn and AJ. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a tag match on Raw, and it was, like, Caitlyn, Layla, Eve, and Beth Phoenix, I think it was. And with the exception of Caitlyn, the other three Divas had been there for at least 5 years.
Right. And they're looking at that because Flair's daughter is in developmental. One of Vicky's daughters is still in developmental, right?
I love Raquel Diaz.
Yeah.
Her on NXT is awesome.
So, you know, we've got a couple of gals ready to come up.
But you may make the case there's one diva who, well, may not be, you know.
This might be fortuitous, though. I'll show you the silver lining to this. We've had the bad news that Cameron, one of the Funkadactyls, mm-hmm. had been arrested last week on a DUI. She also apparently falsely represented herself, or at least her form of employment, and then tried to bribe the cops.
With a little booty dance or something? No, with money.
No, with cash money.
$10,000 of cash
thousands
money.
Thousands of dollars.
Anyway, and the fact that she said that she was a sales associate for Wells Fargo and she had 10 grand on her. Whoa. First I'd arrest her for DUI and then check in for a bank robbery.
Yeah. I mean, really, if she said, "Oh, I'm with WWE," would she be ashamed? Most people wouldn't know who she was. The sad reality is because, well, you know, the Funkadactyls are on my screen for 2 seconds.
Well, and unfortunately, I think she was more worried as if she said, "I work for WWE." The cop would say, "Sure you do. I've never heard of you."
Well, there you go.
I think that's where they came from. Now. Unfortunately, I'm worried that Cameron's probably, you could potentially lose her job over this.
I read she's not on the tour, and it's just Naomi doing the dancing.
And I don't think they'll do anything to change Brodus Clay's gimmick, but Naomi might get some wrestling opportunities. And in fact, she got one just this past weekend.
Yes, and you would know firsthand.
Yes, I would, and I'd be happy to talk about it. Oh, come on!
But first, a word from our illustrious, benevolent, kind-hearted, all-knowing... yeah. Okay.
Would you like a tissue, Jim? You've got something on your nose.
Does it look like brownies?
I don't want to say what it looks like.
I beg your pardon.
Here, please, take care of that while I see what the GM wants. Let's see.
Well, my eyes socked there almost. Go ahead.
Ah, here we go. And I quote, isn't it nice to know that the world is still standing despite the fact that the son of Cerberus and his skeletal bride have brought new spawn into the world? That's not very nice!
The hell?
Fists are being taped.
The GM's speaking about the fact that Undertaker has Undertaker and Michelle's first child was born this week. And the planet is still standing. Ha 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 ha. Or should the planet have imploded the fact that not only did Zack Ryder make it on TV, but he won a match?
Sick!
That one I'm giving him. Let's see.
I read Heath Slater had a baby this week, too, but no one cared because The Undertaker had a baby. Poor Heath Slater.
So now he's got a two-man band! Yeah!
Two-man!
There is no... I refuse to make the redheaded child jokes.
Please.
If it's a girl, what's his name? Wendy? What's her name, Wendy?
Okay. Let's see. But as you can see, the world is still standing, so that means you get to continue your show. Ha 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 ha. But since the GM has kind of halted the momentum, I think this is a good time to stop and take a breather. Restrooms and snack bar are open. Let's take a couple minutes here. Let's sell some soap. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
The pennant chase is on, and nobody covers baseball like CLW 83 Network's Touch 'Em All. Join Jim Williams and a panel of baseball pundits for analysis and insights on all things Major League Baseball, from the latest news to thought-provoking discussions. If you want to truly cover all the bases on the road to the Fall Classic, you have to Touch 'Em All. Every week in September and before every round of baseball's postseason this fall on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Roll the tape on this.
Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
Well, I'm so glad I brought it up then.
As a great man once said, that marijuana make you lazy.
Yes.
When I was watching that segment, I was just thinking to myself, if I were Sheamus, if I were Daniel Bryan, I would have been seriously pissed off.
It comes down to four simple words. It's the economy, stupid.
What partnership? I don't see no partnership.
The partnership I need to get laid?
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, no, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com, click the CLW 83 Wear button, and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now. How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hello, this is DC Lundberg, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Channel 3, sing along with Jeff.
Oh, no!
And we're back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have Jim Williams, Trista Timpson, and Forth with me, along with our Chief High Muckety Muck, who is constantly pounding buttons and making sure that this actually happens.
What's this? Oh, crap.
oh, come on. Oops, really?
You're bad.
Kidding.
I just don't know what went wrong.
See, folks, going through a hurricane will make your mind go nuts.
Touche.
Mm-hmm.
So, before I was so rudely interrupted by our anonymous general manager, I was going to explain the phenomenon of Naomi wrestling.
What's that?
Well, it was part of a group of matches. I think I referenced it briefly on last week's show that since WWE was going to be remotely in my neighborhood and I had plans on going to the Rochester House show, it turns out my dear uncle Paul let me have Saturday afternoon, and I had just enough time to make it to Sioux Falls, which is a four-hour drive. That was not fun. To go ahead and catch the SmackDown card down there. The show was hosted. The ring announcer was Matt Stryker. And you, at these house shows, you still cannot escape the social media monster. They wanted people to text or tweet they said, go ahead and tweet, put hashtag, I think it was WWE Sioux Falls. If you were to text, they give you a five digit number to send your text to. The second day, they actually gave a email address to send pictures. They also suggested touting, and I was thinking, I wonder if they just want to get us all thrown out of the arena. But the card had bits that, you know, turned up as tag matches on WWE programming the following week, and as I referenced, the Caitlyn Natalya match, which was in Rochester, pretty much aired in its entirety from what we saw over the weekend. The card included Brodus Clay over Damian Sandow. Sandow did get to talk, so I was happy. Let's see. The Usos, who were surprisingly over despite their lack of TV time, fought in a winning effort over the even less televised Johnny Curtis and Michael McGillicuddy. I'll give a wonderful moment in the match, though, where it looks like McGillicuddy and Curtis are going to start fighting each other, and the Usos turn to the crowd and get us all start chanting, fight, 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 fight. So McGillicuddy and Curtis argue, shove each other around for a little bit, then they finally get up in each other's faces, and then they hug.
Aww.
Hug it out.
And then the Usos sneak up behind them and then hug them, so it turns into this great big group hug. Let's see, Ryback killed Jinder Mahal. Crowd absolutely into this. 100% into this. Ryback is crazy over. We can put a storyline on him now.
Feed him a storyline.
And I'll have you know that I have signed Ryback as one of my bodyguards. Anyway. So, to the Naomi thing. At the Sioux Falls show, Natalya comes out with a great big smile on her face and a microphone in hand to let everybody know that, according to her, Caitlyn had travel issues. So Natalya was going to enjoy a forfeit. Well, somebody call Natty's mama because out dances Naomi. She's in her dancing gear, but her wrestling boots. From there, Natalya then proceeded to stretch Naomi eight ways to Sunday. Naomi's a trooper, though. She made it through the match, won on a surprise roll-up, and got out of Dodge. Of course, yeah, I know, Trista. Trust me. Let's see. Daniel Bryan, unfortunately, was further tortured with yes, yes, yes chants as he's screaming no, no, no at us. He and Kane were the subject of essentially a Raw active match. They gave the fans the opportunity to vote on the stipulation. First night, your choices were Street Fight or Two Out of Three Falls. Which, of course, the fan base will jump on that Street Fight. I voted Two Out of Three Falls because I know Kane can wrestle. During the Street Fight, somehow, some way, a random fan in a sport wearing a blazer and a New York Yankees baseball cap said something about tables. Next thing you know, the arena is demanding tables. Daniel Bryan is demanding that we shut up. To the point he's walking around the outside of the ring with the microphone screaming, "No! No! No! No!" and backs into Kane, who casually reaches around him, takes the microphone out of his hands, looks at him, and goes, "Yes." And pokes Bryan out with the mic. For the second night, they did tables match or Two Out of Three Falls match. So I don't know. They started it must have started a trend. I don't know. Let's see. We went to intermission while they cleaned up what was left of the table and what was left of Daniel Bryan. After intermission, we got Cody Rhodes versus Sin Cara, where they opened with a sequence where Cody Rhodes had that ridiculous picture of the unmasked Sin Cara that he actually got to hand over to the luchador. Our silent luchador looks at the picture and then points at himself, which must be painful given how powerful he can point. Looks at the picture, looks at Cody, holds up the picture, and proceeds to rip it to pieces. Balls the whole thing up and throws it at Cody. To minimize typical Sin Cara offense, as in the IWC's usual botch and botch and botch and botch and botch, it wasn't as electric as, you know, I would expect for a Sin Cara match, but that's okay. It's a house show. Don't want to get anybody hurt at a house show doing all this.
No.
Let's see. We had Ziggler versus Orton, which, you know, we got to see tonight on SmackDown. That's what I forgot. They actually had a couple of video vignettes. We got to see Daniel Bryan, you know, complaining about the fact he had to fight Kane. Ziggler talking about the fact he was going to beat Orton and he was going to cash in on Sheamus later, you know, during the main, you know, he was going to cash in on Sheamus, who was fighting Del Rio. We also got the video package from the prior Raw, so we can't even escape recaps at a house show, Trista.
Ugh. At least you're not going this weekend because you'll probably get all Triple H video packages.
Well, see, that's the thing. I am going this weekend. I have plans on traveling to Des Moines and to Madison. Go ahead and check out and see what's going on. I'm thinking that the Triple H tributes will be minimal. I'll give them credit. They ran the video package, the recap package they ran during intermission in Rochester instead of just running it during the show, which is what they did in Sioux Falls. Probably just some of the feedback that they were getting from fans. Let's see, main event was Sheamus Del Rio, of course.
Ugh.
Which was, they did as a last man standing match, which probably would have killed Trista because then it was going to be a very long match. So that would have been your opportunity, Trista, to go ahead and grab a little shut eye while the two of them were fighting.
Yes, get the hell out of there.
And beat traffic.
Yep. Do it Fred Durst style.
But we wouldn't be allowed to stop in the back and ask for an apology. And for the record, I've only left one house show early, and this is how long ago it was. The main event that night was Test versus Scott Steiner.
Oh, man.
So Big Papa Pump was your hookup that night, huh?
When we were walking through the concourse and I hear Scott Steiner singing, I walk faster.
Enough said.
So, since this is a house show, titles do not change hands at a house show. Yes, I just gave something away. I don't care. Sheamus retains. Ziggler crashes the ring. Ziggler eats a couple of broke kicks.
Good fella.
And he sells them like a champ. He sells them like an absolute champ. So, but to finally wrap up this terribly long story. I actually had the opportunity to speak to Caitlin the following day in Rochester, to which she told me that Natalia was lying. She was laid up with a bout of food poisoning, but was more than capable of taking care of her business at the Rochester show.
I still am upset with you after talking with you that you did not give her my number.
And I will reiterate, I know better.
And you did not give Dolph Ziggler my number.
I think that falls in the same category.
Well, no. I was trying to get him to come with me.
Oh, no.
Vicky wasn't there. This was the perfect opportunity.
Get him some real representation.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what you call it?
Okay. Hey!
What?
Hey.
No. No!
But, I unfortunately couldn't get an answer out of Matt Stryker. He's not sure why he ended up with the ring announcing gig.
That's a paycheck. Good for him.
There you go. And Ryback did not eat any fans in the course of taking pictures and signing autographs.
He didn't even do a yup, 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 what a do?
No. However, I did mention, I mentioned Silverback, I said Silverback to him. And he was like, oh, that was a long time ago. Because even I believe I mentioned it when NXT first started, that I recognized Skip Sheffield as the former Silverback Reeves from Tough Enough 2004. So I, you know, mentioned Silverback. He mentioned that's old school, and I just told him I'm just glad that, you know, that he did finally make it.
Mm-hmm.
Also found out that the two house shows were two referee deals, so Chad Patton and John Cohn got a lot of time in. I said, look, guys, you got a couple of rookies that need the reps. You know, where's Tony? Where's Ryan Tran? And there was another new ref out there. I'm going to have to pull up FCW at some point and see who else they've got. But the shows were nearly identical, but it was good to see that, you know, they gave Naomi the opportunity. This could lead to something down the line if indeed Cameron gets let go. You know, Brodus doesn't... Well, okay, that begs the question, Jim. No, actually, I'll ask Forth. Does Brodus Clay really need the Funkadactyls?
Honestly, I don't think he needs them that much. And yeah, they do add something, but the gimmick could have been just as fine on its own with just him.
Trista, do you agree?
Yeah, because they really just add some booty shaking, which they're pretty damn good at, but Brodus does fine on his own with his offbeat dancing and no rhythm, so that's cool.
Jim, I realize that Brodus isn't exactly the best of you.
I beg your pardon.
What?
No, I mean, they could get rid of Naomi and then Booker T wouldn't be able to yell, "Don't do it like that, baby!" Every time she shows up on the screen.
No. He says other things.
Oh, yeah. Suck it, ducky, quack, quack!
Swing One of the same. I didn't want to go with the obvious. I wanted to go with the alternate. Thank you very much.
Sorry, the button was right there.
Booker T. Bingo foils me again. No, but they've been considering, you know, changing up Brodus a little bit for a while now because of a film he's being, a WWE film, I should say, that he had a role in. So this would be the time, I think, if they want to alter his gimmick a little bit, this would be the time for that.
It's something to keep an eye on in the coming weeks, but I give Cameron 2 weeks before they just flat out let her go because she just, you know, unfortunately, you know, AW proceeded to bury himself and claim that, you know, it was all bias and crap, but dude, you're a manager, and Cameron, you're nothing, you're pretty much a step above a valet.
I don't know, but yeah,
I've never seen Cameron wrestle, so
wrestling. I grant you that. I think she, you know, if she didn't go through the bribery and all that, all would be forgotten, and she'd come back in due time. But she went too far with it, so yeah, it's best of luck in your future endeavors.
Plus how over the limit she was too.
What was the account? Because I didn't look up the.
Was this on TMZ?
I think TMZ had her that she blew a 0.2.
Holy crap!
Damn.
And she was still conscious.
And driving.
I gotta see this. One sec here.
Yeah, please dig that up, and you know. And then leave up the picture of the TNA title, because we've got some more Darwin Award worthy stuff going here.
Let me bring this up. RB11 ought to be giving us some money here out of this. He's made of money. Yeah, the report says Cameron blew a .20, which is more than twice the legal limit in Florida.
There you go.
So yeah, you're gonna probably lose your driver's license and your job. How do you feel?
Melina versus Alicia Fox.
That's her.
Oh. Yeah, that's her.
Fire her now. Fire her now. Do ooh. I don't even have a soundbite for this. I have no soundbite for this.
I love how they put the sheriff's officer badge over top of her face in the picture. That's real classy. So, very nice. Little photo mark there. Watermark, I should say. Very nice.
Okay, so now to the other bit of stupid that's out there. And before somebody says, oh, it's your TNA bias. No, this is stupid.
It transcends whatever organization body is in question here.
Okay. You work for a large wrestling organization, and one of your few duties as a stagehand is to keep an eye on a large lump of metal and leather that is worth as much, given your job position, as your car.
$1,000 car, $5,000 stereo. Exactly, yes.
Yeah. And the fact that this happens at a TNA house show in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. Nowhere near Des Moines. Stagehands unloading crap from the truck. A couple of fans walk by, grab the quote unquote real belt and the replica. The two of them together worth about $6,500, or a third of that of the WWE title. How fast do you think a stagehand in WWE would get canned if somebody just picked up Punk's belt and walked away?
Actually, they might get a hero's welcome from most.
No, I'm not talking about the IWC. I'm talking about Vince.
Oh, yeah. All right. Vince, I could... Yeah!
Just saying.
In a New York minute.
So, you know... I'm looking at the belt. Don't get me wrong; it ain't a bad looking belt.
It's pretty nice, yeah.
But 6K, that's it. I don't know. I just, you know. Then again, the only time I've ever had to put money. You know, actually, it wasn't even my money. I worked with somebody who went and purchased a set of cheesy tag belts for like $200. And forgot to post somebody on those, and they got stolen. Thankfully, it wasn't my money. Anyway,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, so do we want to give out the names of those who were arrested for, you know, throwing them under the bus here? Because I can make the one-liner, Jameson, it's all his fault, that damn Jameson again! No.
Just the fact that, you know, these idiots didn't even think about the fact that there was a security camera nearby.
Yeah, Big Brother's always watching in this day and age, even at a TNA house show. But yeah.
Well, Lord knows they need the technology to help them out, but...
And that's, well, yeah, that's exactly how it was recovered, that kind right. of technology. Yeah.
So... But yes, they, you know, these two guys were taken in, the belts were returned, and somehow that stagehand still has a job. To that stagehand, you are one lucky little bastard. Then again, I'm guessing the only reason he kept his job is they did get the belts back. It's the only thing I can think of.
More or less, yeah.
Speaking
of getting back, or trying to get back.
How do you mean? Are you talking...
I'm talking about trying to sign a certain, formerly tie-dyed wrestler, shall we say. TNA trying to do that. Hint, hint.
Are you saying... Yeah, I was gonna say, I thought Foley wasn't... We had no intention of going back to TNA.
No. Talking about the Dudleys.
Now, let's see. As far as the last that I had read, and I might be a little behind on my Wrestle Chat news, so I've been too busy packing. Devon is done. And Bully Ray is still negotiating.
According to the Wrestling Observer, he's considered probable to re-sign Bully Ray.
Shoot.
I was going to say, what makes the Devon stuff interesting is that somehow I get the feeling this is going to be their way to just quietly retire their TV championship.
Hmm.
That's true. Devon didn't even drop it on Impact, did he?
No.
So he's going to walk off into the sunset with it.
Gonna go to WWE and drop it in the trash can.
Oh my! This is vintage! Oh my! Dropping it in a trash can, King! Bobby's Yahoo!
Stop and that.
TNA's gonna go, I don't get it.
No, TNA's gonna go gimmick infringement.
Blaze will come out and be like, gimmick infringement.
Well, see, I guess I've just, you know, just a pipe dream of mine that, you know, since WWE is attempting to try to cobble together a tag team division, just have the Dudley show up, not necessarily destroy the division.
I'd say destroy it, just with the head, you know.
But I just thought if Bully doesn't re-sign, could that be a possible Hall of Fame induction next year?
That would be sweet, given the fact that he's a New Yorker, They're going to be up in the New York, New Jersey area, and I'm kind of hoping that somebody put my Uncle Paul on the ballot. Anyway,
I think Styles pulled a few strings for you there. Yeah.
I'll check with Joey later. There is that possibility. Also, the fact that these guys are still running a school.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll actually concentrate on it, since they've had some real winners for graduates.
But they still have... go ahead, Forth, yeah.
Actually, Trista?
I'm sorry, it was Trista, I'm sorry.
I was saying they've had questionable graduates.
Like I said, some real winners.
Yeah.
But no, they still have a few good matches in them if they ever came back to the E. I mean, let's just have the dream match already. A 3-on-2 handicap match. R-Truth, Kofi, Lil Jimmy versus the Dudleys. Can't you just see Bubba Ray at that point again. Bubba Ray just doing a top rope Bubba bomb on Lil Jimmy through a table. I mean, come on.
You know what? I would pay pay-per-view money for that.
I knew you'd say that. Yeah, you would.
I would.
It would get so much heat.
The heat would be enormous.
Talk about Sunday night heat, yes.
But yeah, that would well, I just, you know, just a little pipe dream. Unfortunately, the TN, even if they were considering coming back up north, I don't know if the TNA lawsuit would, you know, kind of put a roadblock on that, but couldn't you see at Night of Champions they decide to do, say, a big scramble? Kofi and Truth, Little Jimmy, the Usos, Primo and Epico, the Primetime Players, Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel, McGillicuddy. Huh?
Kidd and Gabriel, they've been tagging still?
Apparently they're still tagging because they were in the pull apart last week.
How about that?
And they had a match this week against the Primetime Players. They lost, but at least they got on TV. And Hawkins, you know, not Hawkins, but Curtis and McGillicuddy. And if Hawkins can find another tag team partner, we get this big, you know, we get this big free for all tag team match, and all of a sudden, you know, just as the match is really starting to heat up, you hear, and then start up the Dudley's music.
You do that a little too well, by the way. Very nice.
Thank you. And the two of them come running to the ring. Can you just imagine? You know, if you're in Boston, I think you'd get a pop. I think there would be a little bit of a pop.
I know some who might mark out over it.
It's a mark out moment. A mark it out, bro.
We need to get him on the show, for God's sakes.
I would love to have him on the show. Anyway, but...
You wouldn't be talking wrestling. You'd be talking video games or sports or something, yes.
Well, you would talk to him about sports. I would be talking to him about video games and probably role-playing games. But anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But with D-Von Dunn, Bubba, regardless of his contract situation, you know, whether he signs or not, I think his deal is good up till Bound for Glory, or at least he's sticking around till Bound for Glory. And then we'll see what happens. I'm guessing, though, he's kind of keeping WWE in the back burner, because I think WWE would take the Dudleys back. I think so.
Yeah.
It just depends on how serious they are about their tag team division at this point.
Their tag team division just looks like they realized they had some people that have the same ethnicity and they just paired them together due to lack of something else to do with them.
Now, wait a minute. You know, the Usos are twin brothers. Primo and Epico are related. Primetime
Kofi and R-Truth are black. Darren Young, Titus O'Neil are black.
Oh, damn, she's got something.
That doesn't explain.
Justin
Gabriel is South African.
Wait a minute.
No. Hold on. She's got something. After all, one of the Raw in 3 minutes YouTubers, pretty much when the Primetime Players came out, spliced in the old In Living Color Brothers Brothers jingle. We're brothers. Oh. We're happy and we're singing and we're color. Give me a high five.
Ow.
Hey, I liked In Living Color. Sue.
I'm not. My brain hurts.
Well, again, Brain Bleach aisle one. Brain Bleach aisle one.
No, this isn't a brain bleach. This is a brain bend. Okay.
Composure.
Whew. Okay. None of us live in Connecticut, so Linda being ahead in the polls does not affect our lives yet.
Though I'm sure Jason is bellowing it to the top of the mountain, even if he's a New Yorker.
Oh yeah, trust me, he's the one who told me I had to say something about it on the show.
Now that you did, we move on.
Yeah, because that's not my thing. And
that's
I'm
perfect for Red State, Blue State. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what if next week on Raw they have R-Truth talking to an invisible chair and say little Jimmy was in it?
Oh, man.
Place your bets!
Place bets! Invisible chair or no chair? Where would little Jimmy be? Betting end! Okay, I like Banzai too, sorry.
No. I'm debating if they're even going to use it. If they're even going to use a chair,
maybe a little stool.
Or actually, no. I think what should happen is that R-Truth and Kofi Kingston come to the ring. R-Truth goes out and gets a chair and sets it in the middle of the ring, and then he kneels next to it and tries to interview little Jimmy. But little Jimmy's shy and he's not going to answer. So Truth answers for him, or Kofi, you know, makes a couple of suggestions. In the course of it, the primetime players are going to crash the ring, and eventually that chair is going to hit R-Truth.
Can't they rig a way to put little Jimmy on commentary? Some visible strings on a headset or something? Maybe.
That'd be kind of funny. That would make it for a good visual on TV, because you might not be able to see the strings. If they did it from a far enough distance, it would just be a floating headset.
Mm-hmm. That'd be tough. I don't think they would do it. I could just see the workaround where R-Truth puts the headset on. He says, you know, this is too big for little Jimmy. But I stand by my scenario. We get the empty chair, and R-Truth tries to talk to little Jimmy, and the primetime players are going to crash it. Fourth, you got a scenario for an empty chair?
Honestly, the only thing I could think of is, I honestly can't think of anything. I wouldn't mind seeing them do the whole commentary thing with it, though. That would be a funny idea.
Trist, I don't think they can do the hovering headset just because of the arena layouts. If they still
Like, I understand that. I just thought it'd be like a funny visual for TV.
Oh,
look what I've started. This is epic.
Well, think about it. Well, no, if the table was up at the top of the ramp like they used to have, like they had on Raw up till about early 2006, I think it was.
Yeah, the Bischoff position, as I call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bischoff table.
I think they could have gotten away with it, because they could have it up there. They could have set up something. They could set up something like a black harness that would blend in with the color of the seat. Put the headset, you know, here we put this headset on little Jimmy, and from our seats we can't see that. That would work, but not with the announce table so close to the crowd.
And little Jimmy on color is better than King these days, I gotta say.
Better than Michael Cole, too.
Oh, of course.
This past, I think it was it last Friday or on Monday or whatever, I just thought, man, even not saying anything, Kane is a lot better than Michael Cole right now.
Yeah.
It was very effective.
And poor Josh Matthews, I think he's going to want to stay locked in the basement with Road Dogg to shoot Are You Serious instead of coming up and doing commentary with Michael Cole. Well, I can't help say, I can't help that, because I you know, I hate to say it, he sounds like he's having a lot more fun on Are You Serious than he is doing commentary, but he's sitting next to Michael Cole.
Then, plus, you don't know what's going on in the headset, so, yeah.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Well, depending on who's barking at him, exactly.
Mm. Let's see, I think I've hit the bottom of my list. Jim, you got anything? You got anything else that we need to, that we missed?
I think you pretty much covered all the bases. I thought I had a something on Raw's. Hold on, I think I had something on Monday Night Raw's rating and how many millions of people watched Monday Night Raw. Give me a moment on that. Ah, here it is. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
I have. Just millions of viewers, not actual ratings. An average of 4.482 million watched Raw, 4.1 million in the first, 4.786 in the second. The third hour dipped to 4.499 million. So they lost a couple hundred thousand in the final hour.
Okay.
But still, they're you know, the first hour builds to the second still. So.
Right. Oh, I did miss something. While we're joking around about R-Truth, he apologized, quote unquote, to the Milwaukee crowd.
Yeah, yes, blaming it on Little Jimmy.
It's only fair. Little Jimmy was cool with it. I mean, they at least warned him that Truth was going to pull this.
Yes, continuity. I mean, continuity coming back in play. Very nice.
So yes. Yeah, thumbs up to R-Truth, remembering that they were in Milwaukee. Anyway,
Mick Foley would never miss out the chance to mention they're in the right city. Cheap pop.
So I think we're about newsed out. Trista, do you have anything to promote?
No, but you know what really bugs me this week on wrestling, and I really want to talk about this, and this is why I had AJ on my anger collage for this week.
Okay.
Okay, so Cena basically turns down a title shot, right?
Right.
Because CM Punk's like, say I'm the best, and Cena's like, no, not going to. I don't care if it costs me a title shot. And then AJ comes out, and she's like, well, Cena has a title shot now, even though he just basically turned one down and said he didn't want it.
Hmm. Unfortunately, this is the age-old conundrum of applying logic to wrestling.
I know.
Valid point, though. Very valid point.
And I had a feeling it was something I put way too much thought into. It was just one of those things where it's like, you know, a good GM would listen to their employees and be like, hey, he said he didn't want one. Maybe I should give this shot to somebody else. But no. She gave it to him anyways, even though he said he didn't want it.
I think AJ's a phenomenal GM, and I'm
basing
it not...
I think she's terrible, and this is why.
Okay. I'm basing it not exactly on anything she's doing, just that she's on my TV. That's all.
Okay. Well...
at least I'm honest, you know. Hey.
That's true. That's why she was on my anger collage, because I thought that was the dumbest thing.
I understand.
Well, unfortunately, you know, John Cena not in the main event in his hometown... would probably have cost them a few tickets. So she may be crazy, but she ain't that crazy.
He said he didn't want a title shot.
don't bend your brain, Trista, please. We want you to come back on the show. Please. I don't want you to hurt yourself.
It just hurts.
I'm sorry.
That's all I got.
I'm sorry.
I'm fine.
Forth, did you have anything to promote?
Just typo shows on Tuesday on the other place, and DRM's show on CW83.
Typho, doggone it, convert already. You know you want to get away from that evil, evil other place.
And if you don't, they can shove it up there. Never mind.
Okay, Jim, you have the floor, because you're going to be able to do this a whole lot better than I can.
Well, you're kind to say that. Do I get extra pay for... No, I guess not.
Double pay, and you can wear the blazer.
You don't want that, because I'll probably rip it in shreds. Fat guy in a little coat. Fat guy in a...
Oh. You're in a singing mood tonight.
Yeah, we're in a singing mood. Yeah, what can I say? But I'll shout to the mountaintops. Thanks to our buddy Brett Clendaniel, Mr. WrestleChat.net, to you. We have the first episode of WrestleChat Radio. It's up and active right now at either CLW83.com. We'd like you to go there and listen to it. Or if you want to go to WrestleChat.net and stream it from there or download it from there, you're more than welcome to. We got to talk with Brian Heffron, a.k.a. The Blue Meanie, or as I prefer to know him, the Blue Guy, the Blue Guy. what was supposed to be a 30 or 45 minute interview surprisingly went 90 minutes or so, actually over 90 minutes. And Nikki was a part of the interview, so was Brett, and we talked about, you know, his upbringing with wrestling, how he got into the business, how the BWO was founded. We also, of course, talked about Wrestler's Rescue, which he has been very vocal about on social networking sites. And he actually has I don't want to say he has a stake in it per se, but he was a contributor to a grassroots ECW film that's trying to be made. And matter of fact, shameless promotion as well, because I think this is a cool idea. If you follow WrestleChat on Twitter, search for WrestleChat and you become a new follower, now through next Friday, which is, what is it, the 7th of September? Yeah. For every new follower up to the first 500, WrestleChat.net will donate $1 to this grassroots ECW film project that they're trying to raise money for. So help out the cause. $500 can be raised to help the film become a reality, and the Meanie's a big... part of it, and there are a lot of funny moments, as you will attest, Nikki, during the interview.
Absolutely, and we covered a few things, like you said. We cover Wrestler's Rescue. We talk a lot about, you know, a lot of the relationships he's developed in wrestling. It's a wonderful look on the other side of the curtain. I even took a moment. I had to ask, and you know, we went ahead and even got the answers to his little dust-up with JBL at the first one-night stand.
Some real interesting insights there, and you'll want to listen. It's a 90 to 100-minute podcast, but trust me, you will want to listen to every moment of it. It's insightful, it's entertaining, he's not afraid to, you know, laugh at himself or at us, and we're not afraid to do the same either. So listen to it again at CLW83.com. WrestleChat.net. It's WrestleChat Radio with me, with Nikki, with Brecklin Dick. It was a lot of fun to record on Thursday night.
Listen to it twice. Oh.
Well, no. Download it twice to help the hit counter. Smirk. Keep hitting refresh, baby. Just keep hitting refresh.
Down, Jim.
Trying to help. Otherwise, if I may, other things going on. Carl, as you know, back and well in Louisiana. He never truly left, of course. But hi, boss. How you doing? We've got a big week of stuff coming up. The BS Big Show does its NFL preview this week. WLTI Live Episode 2. We start the Pennant Chase editions of Touch 'Em All. Big week of programming, so check CLW83.com. for all of your sports and politics and wrestling needs.
And that will be the perfect place to call it a show. So for Jim Williams, for Trista Timpson, for Forth, for High Muckety Muck Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have listened to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net here at CLW83.com. Please come back and check with us next week for more wrestling news and nonsense, right?
Honey.
And a ba-ba-booey to you all.
Good night, folks.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.